We're holding in Tes Tevis, Siman Lamed Ches Halacha Tes. We're going today to all, starting a new Siman, very complicated Siman. We're going all the way to Siman Lamed Ches Halacha Aleph. So here let's finish up the Halachas of Bishul Akum, Pas Akum, and Cholav Yisrael. All these shahs are very negative Maisa. First we're starting with Halacha Tes. We speak about a non-Jew that kicked and cooked on Shabbos for someone that wasn't well. This is the most interesting shaila. The kids of Paskin is that the item, of course, is he's a person that's ill and needs food. So you could have a non-Jew cook for him. Usually that's not such a simple thing to have a nisad rabban for someone that's sick. But here, since inherently it's not something else, so he's cooking kosher food. So one is allowed to have this. But that food is going to be forbidden Motzei Shabbos. So if he cooked him a delicious cholent, because that's what he needed, and Motzei Shabbos you could have someone else cook a cholent, you're not allowed to eat that cholent. Not only that, the utensils that he used, remember we said that when a non-Jew cooks, he uses utensils to cook something, and it's something that needed to be cooked, so then we say that the utensils are also. But here, it's a combination of many different opinions. There's a leniency that you could wait 24 hours, and then you could use utensils without kashering. This is such an interesting discussion. I have to tell you, years ago, there was a contradiction that seemed to be, the Piskei Shuas actually quoted as a contradiction between Shin Chav Ches and Shin Yud Ches in the Mishmur itself. Until it was discovered, I remember that I was zech to see the Chavetz Chaim himself's son wrote a whole story, biography, autobiography about himself. And he said, you should know, parts of Mishmur were written by the Chavetz Chaim and part were written by me. He instructed me to write the Mishmur in order that I shouldn't go into Rabbanus, and hence there's no contradiction. We were going following two different opinions. So I think they fixed that later in the Piskei Shuas, what I recall. In any rate, so the halacha is halacha lemaisa, big cooler by the kids of Shchanoch, that this you could wait 24 hours and you don't have to kasher the utensils. When it comes to an egg, even though technically a person could drink an egg raw, and people used to do that when they had voice problems, I used to do it myself. Nevertheless, even though you could eat an egg raw, nevertheless it's considered bishul akum. That means if an Andrew cooks for your eggs, you have a problem, you won't be able to eat those eggs, and again the utensil will be usher. Anything similar, in fact, the next case that he gives is fruits that are unripe fruits that are sweetened with, fried with sugar. These two are going to be also because of Bishul Akum, because again, these are things that you wouldn't eat in a normal fashion and therefore needs to be cooked. Now here we get to one of the big shailas. Sheikha Shatvua means beer made of grain beer, regular beer, and beer, they used to make beer made from honey. It was an old famous, I don't think they do these drinks anymore as far as I know. But in any case, meaning beer, of course, they have. So the halacha is, it's a big shaila, can you have them, meaning they're made by a non-Jew? So maybe there's a problem bishul akum. So there's a beautiful tasteless, and it's called by the Taz, and the Kitzur basically is basing this halacha on this, is the idea that we say that since it's water and grain, so on the grain part, the fermenting part, there seems to be a process of cooking for the non-Jew. On the other hand, since it's mainly water, and the bracha is shahakol, so you see that it's batel. That means it's secondary to the water. So then the water, there is no bishul akum because water you could drink raw. So therefore, there's no bishul akum. That's the heter, that's the leniency that many rely on. Nevertheless, the kids already warned us to be careful. Sometimes they used to ferment it with sediments of wine. And this goes back to also the shiles that we have today, even with the sherry caskets and stuff like that. And the kids himself says, in the place where people, Jews, are lenient when it comes to wine of non-Jews, a baal nefesh. It's a very important term to someone that's scrupulous about his soul, wants to really grow, one that's holding in a high level than the so even someone that's permitted, has a permission to have it. Nevertheless, he says one should be machmen himself, even when it comes to beer. When it comes to coffee, chocolate, meaning cocoa, which he used to have, of course, hot chocolate, and eating by a non-Jew, he says, the kitzur says, one should avoid it, meaning shema nafshe yachak mitzvah. Again, shema nafshe doesn't mean that halacha is that it's not permitted. It's permitted, but one should try to distance himself. The kitzur himself says, those are lenient to have it, what's called decharai, like not bekvias, not set. But dechkvias is better, he says it's us. Now this is very, of course, sitting down, having regular coffee in the Starbucks, etc. It's because besides there's kashrus questions, I think based on this, you could see again that although halachically, there's definitely what to rely on, it's something that a baal nefesh should avoid. And here we go into another big shaila of chalav akum. What's called it, milk that was milked by a non-Jew and the Jew wasn't watching it. That the halach is, Chazal said, you're not allowed to drink it. Also, if you made cheese out of it, you're also not allowed to have it. The Chatchila Kitzur says that a person should be at least in the beginning of the milking. Some actually require the entire process of the milking. And of course, this is where the famous Moshe Feinstein comes to light. Moshe Feinstein said, "Well, listen, if the whole thing is a concern that maybe they're going to mix in milk from a pig or something of the like, which, by the way, does exist in different parts of the world. So therefore, or milk. In fact, in where's it? In Dubai, they have camel's milk. So one has to know that these things still apply today. Nevertheless, Moshe said, if you have certain companies that you know are reliable and they're going to get penalized if they're going to be." The producers of the milk are going to be caught, so therefore you could rely on that. Nevertheless, even the Moshe finds the Chazadik Divacha writes himself that Abal Nefesh again should be Machmir, although there's different stories about the Moshe himself having it and his of David Feinstein, Zechazadik Divacha, and Ibadu Lachaim Tavav Ruben Feinstein. So one has to know who says that the Moshe did drink it. I think that Abal Nefesh, especially today when it's just as easy, I don't think you really know the difference in taste. Maybe it's spoiled before, I don't know. One should be machmir on these things, and in fact, all these different types of chocolates. There's only one chocolate, if anyone knows what I'm referring to. That yet the Pashkas and all the other different religious player meaning Chalav Yisrael companies have not yet produced. But other than that, yeah, it's not much suffering anymore. Next. When it comes to maids that are milking for in the house of a Jew, so then there's more leniency as long as there's no non-Jewish house in between. That's going to be a concern that maybe in that non-Jewish house they're mixing in non-kosher milk. Interesting that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch allows a katan and a katana, means even a 9-year-old boy or girl, to be watching in order to take away from the problem of it being chalav akum and already it's considered a chalav Israel. What about cheeses? Cheeses made from non-Jews called gvinas akum. So the Kitzel Paskins that Gvinos Akum Asr. Interesting how these Gvinos were made. They used to make, today it's much more already, besides commercialized, it's also, instead of using what they used to use, is basically something what's called an enzyme known as renin. And what they used to use the actual stomach lining of a young animal. And the concern was that they're going to use the stomach lining of a non-kosher animal. So the coagulation process is being used by this lining, which is a whole discussion in itself. Why is not a question of, wait a minute, I'm using lining of an animal, so why isn't the concern about of a chalavi? But besides that, there's a whole machalik sushan about how that works. But the halach lamai says that it's okay as long as it wasn't used from a non-Jewish source, I mean a non-kosher animal. So therefore, that's why a Jew has to first of all see that the milking and the cheese are being made properly with a kosher supervision. And if they at the time of and therefore the kit also says that the gvinas at the time of making should be owned by the Jew. If they're owned by the non-Jew, it's going to be usur. So that's what today you really have to buy. You can't rely on having cheeses made by non-Jewish people and non-Jewish companies. That would be a major problem unless you have really real supervision. The big debate is the next halacha, which is when it comes to butter. It used to be the butter was accepted to be okay. The reason for that is because it can't be coagulated by non-kosher sources that usually would coagulate the milk, make the butter. However, today, first of all, so the kids first says this, it depends on the minig, and the minig amakom. And he even says if you go to a place where they're lenient, you could be lenient. What's so interesting is that usually we say if you're coming from a place where you're machmir, you still can't take the leniency the way you came to. Here it's different because it's really based on circumstantial reality. How concerned are we that they're going to use something that's not permitted to when it comes to the butter? What's interesting is that the kids themselves says that even recently they found out that they're using what's called fat of a swine, basically butter made from a swine, i.e. pig, and really deceitfully substituting this stuff instead of what's supposed to be kosher. So therefore, here too, it's best, and especially in today's commercial world that we live in, to get kosher equivalent. Now we start Siman Lamed Tes, which is such an interesting halacha. I'll try to simplify it as much as possible. We're going to go with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but really go a little bit more with the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, and to make it practically on halacha lemaisa. So here we go. The principle behind the Shaila is the following. You're having something before the meal. So let's say you're about to have a meal. Your wife has made all these delicious foods, and now I'm speaking to the men, but of course if the wives have this, the same shayla to the ladies. So here you have this sweet potato you're going to have during the meal, but it looks so good, so you want to have the sweet potato ready now. So what's the problem? So can you make a bracha on a little bit of the sweet potato? And then also you're going to have a sweet potato, and then you're eventually going to wash. Not everyone is ready to wash right now. The problem with that is that do you make a bracha achreina on the potato that your sweet potato just had? Let's say you have a size of a kazais. Or do you say, no, well, I'm going to have it in the meal too. So since I'm going to have it in the meal too, it's considered really one eating. And therefore, the other concern is that if you're not going to make a bracha achrona, is it exempt with a birkas hamazon, which is at the end of the meal? So the kitzur makes it quite strict and says that there's a concern whether you're going to have sweet potato or even if you're having an apple. What's the difference between having an apple during the meal and an apple before the meal? Because an apple during the meal usually make a bracha. So any item that you would make a bracha during the meal. So now if you make the bracha before the meal, the bracha is really taking care of the bracha during the meal. You're not going to have to make a bracha during the meal. And therefore it's considered through the bracha one eating. And then the birkas hamazon for sure exempts it. So now, according to the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that's taka the way he paskins, he differentiates between sweet potato and the like, versus where there he says not to have it before the meal. And if you're going to have it before the meal, there is two eitzes. Either to have less than a shear, or that after the meal itself, you're going to make something, you need something, and then make a bracha achrona and have in mind for that bracha achrona that you owed all the way in the beginning of the meal. He definitely says and encourages that if you're about to eat the meal, don't be busy now having stuff right before the meal, because it actually creates a shaila of suffik of a bracha sheina tzicha. So I hope the introduction that I gave everything simplifies things, and that's really what the kitzur basically teaches us. That if a person wants to eat before Netilas Yadayim, he gives examples that say potatoes or even things that he calls eild apple, or things like apples, like I said, he said that this will be a major concern if you're making a bracha before, because you're going to have a shaila in the bracha in the middle of the meal, number one, or before the meal, bracha chayna, in the middle of the meal, and is Birkas HaMazon going to cover everything? Have a beautiful day.